Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
This morning we want to talk about growing our faith. Faith that really catches fire. Faith that really helps you grow. And we've been talking about those keys that have faith that just transforms. And we enter into a relationship. So often I think that when we talk about the term faith, so many people think it's kind of like, you know, just this blind belief. Like you just have to walk on faith. Even though it's illogical, you just have to walk on faith. But I love the way Eldon Trueblood says it. He says, faith is not belief without proof, but it is trust without reservation. Trust without reservation. And so we've been talking about how do we define faith? What does it mean to you to have faith in what God is doing? And so we've kind of defined it as faith is a relationship. It's a relationship, and all relationships are built on trust. So the question is how do we have that trust that God is with us every single day? Not just here Sunday morning, but how do you have that life-giving faith that carries you all through the day? What would it be like if you got up tomorrow morning and you started your daily routine, but everything that you did was shaped because you knew God was with you? Imagine how it would shape your giving. You know, sometimes when somebody asks us for something, we feel like we're going to lose something. But if God were with you every step of the way, you would never be in want. What would that be like? What would it be like? Well, if what I'm saying is true, that faith is like a relationship, then it seems only reasonable that our relationships that we have with one another would be modeled somewhat in the relationship that we have with God. How we grow in relationships to each other, to significant people in our lives, would be reflected in our relationship, how we can grow in our relationship with God. So let's think about that this morning. How do we grow in our relationship with one another? Now, when do your relationships with significant people really begin? When do those relationships begin? How do you learn to be in relationships? Well, believe it or not, your relationships, how you enter into relationships, start at the very earliest ages. I mean, think about when you're growing up. As you're growing up, you're learning as a child how to be in a relationship, how to share with one another, how to treat other people, how to be respectful, how to be kind to one another, just how to be social. Several years ago, when I first got my first job, there was a man that worked at our company who was from the Soviet Union. And his cultural boundaries were very different than ours. As a matter of fact, what he would do is, you know how when we get next to one another, we have a kind of a cultural boundary. There's a gap that needs to exist, a personal space that needs to exist between people. If anybody enters your personal space, you feel a little bit uncomfortable. Well, his personal space was radically different than ours. And every time you got next to him, he would get almost nose to nose to you. And it is really creepy if somebody starts doing that. And every so often, when he would get in that space, what is your natural response? You back up. So what's his response? He steps forward. And pretty soon, by the end of any kind of conversation, you find that you've migrated all the way down the hall. And the whole time, you don't have a clue what he was saying because you're just trying to get away from him. And it was hard to have that communication. How do we interact with one another? How do we grow in our relationship? When we start talking about our relationship with God, do we do it based on our cultural norms? I love to be with God on my timetable, according to my schedule, according to God in this location and this locale. but maybe that's not the culture, or this is not the way the Spirit interacts. And so we have to learn, how do we learn the language of the Spirit? How do we learn the language of faith and of a relationship with God? And so we start by talking about, if you want to learn how to grow in the Spirit, where's the first thing that you got to start? With the very basics, with practical Bible teaching. In the Bible, we learn the nuances of the Spirit. We learn how to interact with one another. We learn how Spirit speaks to Spirit. And we learn that there's another side of it. It just isn't this physical body, but our dreams and our aspirations. And as we continue to grow, we find that we gather in a sense of community. We are relational beings. We love to be together. We need to be together to be healthy. And as we gather in a sense of community. As you were growing, maybe you had somebody that took you to church on a regular basis. Or you gathered in a church community like today, and you drew together. But at some point, when you started to learn about other people and you began to develop significant relationships with other people, there was a time or a place where somebody introduced you to your significant other, a significant friend, a significant relationship. There was some event where somebody said, you need to meet this person, and they introduced you, or you had a chance encounter where there was an event that brought you together. And in that moment, you had these relationship skills, and you got introduced at a significant level. We call that a providential relationship. Somebody or some circumstance that allowed you to introduce to this other person. Maybe it was a teacher, maybe it was a pastor, maybe it was a friend. Somebody that said, I want you to learn at a deeper level who God is. And so we have these relationships that foster, but we're still not quite there. We know who God is, and maybe you're part of this community, but at some point, when you start having a significant relationship, something significant has to change. And that's what we're going to talk about today. How do we go even to a deeper level? Would you join with me again as we open up God's Word, as we find out what God has in store for us, and how we can have that kind of relationship that can move mountains? Will you join with me as we share what's on the screen? This is God's Word for my life, in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know He has a purpose for my life. I'm reading from Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 13. Then Jesus said to them, Suppose one of you went to your friend's house at midnight and said to him, Friend, loan me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine has come into town to visit me, but I have nothing for him to eat. Your friend inside the house answers, Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, if friendship is not enough to make him get up to give you the bread, your boldness will make him get up and give you whatever you need. So I tell you, ask and God will give to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Yes, everyone who asks will receive. The one who searches will find. And everyone who knocks will have the door open. If your children ask for a fish, which of you would give them a snake instead? Or if your children ask for an egg, would you give them a scorpion? Even though you are bad, you know how to give good things to your children. How much more your heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, we come as your children, seeking a deeper relationship with you and with one another. We pray, O God, that you draw us to your side and help us to remember your presence among us. In Jesus' name, amen. There comes a place in every relationship where it no longer can be your family's faith. It can no longer be your church's faith. It can no longer be your denomination's faith. It has to become yours. It becomes personal. And when you find people that make a significant, a real significant transition in their faith journey, you will often hear them say things like this. "And then I began to pray for myself. And then I began to open up the Bible for myself. And then I began to go to church for myself." We're talking about those personal disciplines. In any relationship that you want to talk about, in your own personal experience, you get to know somebody and maybe a significant person in your life becomes a friend and you get to know them kind of superficially, but there comes a place in your life where it becomes real. It becomes a deeper commitment that you have, and you make that step and you begin the process on your own, learning and growing on your own. And as we do that, there's a couple of things that make this a significant part of our faith journey. The first one is that we take ownership for what is happening. At some point in your own life journey, you have to take ownership for your faith. It cannot be about the church that you belong to. It can't be about something that happened years ago in confirmation. It can't even be about your family's history. It has to be about your history because it's personal. You grow in your faith because you have made a significant discovery that God is real and He's personal and He's touched your life in a significant way. And you're taking ownership. "I began to pray by myself. I began to take ownership. I began to grow." So often we think of spiritual disciplines as the work of the church. I've got to be a part of a Sunday school, or I've got to pray. And these are disciplines. These are the hard work. When in fact, these are the gifts that God gives to you. How many times have you been in a significant love relationship with somebody and you said, "I have to spend time with them. I have to take them out on a date. I have to see..." If that's the language, then you really have no relationship at all. These are things that you look forward to. These are things that you are eager to be a part of to grow in a deeper relationship. The first thing that's got to happen for a personal discipline is that you take ownership for that relationship. It's really about your connecting with God on a deep and a personal level. Not just theoretical, not just philosophical, but deep, personal. Taking that ownership of saying, "This is what God is doing in my life." The second thing that really flows out of this is there's a sense of desire, because it's so fulfilling. Every time you meet with somebody else and you develop that personal relationship, there's a sense of joy about it. You want to spend time with that person because they fill you up. They meet a deep spiritual need. They make you feel special and privileged and wonderful. In our time with God, God is pouring into your life discoveries and revealing more about Himself and about who you are and about the life that we're chosen to live. When we enter into those private disciplines, we recognize that God is doing something in my life, and it fills you up. Your life has a purpose. That's why we say every Sunday, I know that it becomes kind of monotonous, but sometimes it needs to be that way. I know He has a purpose for my life. And that is so joyful and so giving. But we can't lose the last part of it. It's also a sense of diligence. There's also a sense, because it's growing, we have to continue to grow. Every relationship is growing. And every relationship, you have to learn something about yourself and about the other person. And so often we get into the time of dryness. Maybe God isn't always as, you know, just right at your elbow, and you say, "Well, then I'm going to give up." Every time we enter into a significant trust relationship, there has to be a season of dryness. And if you're going to grow through a sense of diligence, you have to push through in order to grow. And so the question is are we willing to grow into that season, to push through that dryness and find that new level of relationship? Every strong relationship that I've ever met, every seasoned marriage that has gone through difficulties is stronger because they've pushed through those difficult seasons. Any relationship of people that are really profoundly relational with God have pushed through and have gone through struggles and disappointments to find out who God is on the other side. If you're willing to get to that level, if you're willing to take that personal ownership, then take ownership for what you have, desire and diligence. And if you have those three, you're going to grow and you're going to see your faith just mushroom in your own life because it's growing within you. The next phase that often comes, we're taking on many different phases here. The second stage that often happens is as soon as you have that one-on-one relationship with anybody, as soon as somebody has a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a significant friend, what often do they want to do? They want to shout it to the world. They want to let everybody know. They don't want to just hide it under a bushel and just say, well, let's not let anybody know about this. I'm kind of a little embarrassed. They want everybody to know, and they want to find a way to please the other person. You know, when young people are getting together, what do we often see in that romantic framework? Flowers and candy and special gifts, because they're trying to please the other person. Now, how does that factor into our relationship with God? How are we then in that deep, abiding relationship? How are we trying to please the beloved through those significant not spiritual disciplines, but our own personal ministries, those personal ministries, those times when we're able to enter into what God is doing and rejoice in the beloved? This is what makes God happy. This is what makes God happy. If you ever hear people that their faith is just really growing, the next thing that they often say is, I started to pray. And then I started to read. And then the next level, what happens? And then somebody asked me to help. And then somebody asked me to serve in this capacity. And you'll hear things like this. And I was scared to death. It was out of my comfort zone. I didn't know what to do. But I took a step. Every personal ministry that's going to help your faith bloom and blossom and feel the joy of God is when you hear people say things like, I was scared to death, and I never depended on God more than I did in that moment. That's what God is trying to get you to a place where you're totally out of your comfort zone, and you're just saying, I'm almost going to have to step out in a place that I'm not familiar, and I want to feel God's rush just come over me. So how do you know where your significant personal ministry is? How do you know where your life story connects with God's greatest joy? The first thing that I want to come up with is I want you to think about there's a compelling need. Can you think about your own life where there's a compelling need? And you can kind of say, when somebody says, hey, would you, and you said, how could I say no? It was so wonderful. It was such an opportunity. I just felt God calling me to this. I just felt that I had to enter into it. I didn't know how I was going to do it. I didn't know how I was going to pay for it. I didn't know how I was going to get the time off from work. But I just knew that I had to do it. Is there a compelling need in your life where God is saying, come. Come into a relationship. Let me show you another side of yourself. One of the great tragedies that we have in our own time is that we so often think of our own lives as just 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. You are what you do. You are what it says on the nameplate on your door. And God says, I want to take you away from all of that. I want to show you what you're capable of. I want to show you what I've already planted and I'm trying to bloom. It's going to cause a little bit of turmoil. It's going to cause a little bit of upheaval because you're going to have to step outside of your comfort zone and you're going to have to depend on me. And that's where I want you to be. I want you to find that personal ministry. Where is your compelling need? That's what I was created to do. But it's going to cause a courageous response. You're going to have to step out. And you're going to have to, there's going to be that moment of saying, you know, it's really easy to stay inside my house with the TV on and not get involved. It's a lot easier. But if you want to have that kind of faith that just bursts forth, where you just know what's on God's heart, and you know what you were created to do, and every day is an adventure, both the good things and the bad things God is using to shape you, so that at the end of the day, you look back and say, I know that God was shaping me through these events. It requires you to build trust. So the question is in our relationship with one another, as we learn to interact as with other people, we learn that we have to take responsibility for that. We have to enter in a person. We have to become vulnerable to other people. But in that vulnerability, it's so overwhelming. It's so fulfilling. It's so joyful that we encourage everybody to enter into those kind of relationships. And as we enter in, it isn't just about what are we going to get out of it. What is God doing for me? But a true relationship is one where you enter in and say, how do I give back? How do I make the beloved joyful and grateful? How are you giving back to what God has done? I saw a quote the other day, just really stuck in my mind. It said, for anyone that gives themselves first to God and to God alone, all other giving is only secondary. All other giving becomes easy. When you really have a relationship with God, when you have that depth of trust, nothing is impossible and nothing becomes scary. You know, there's so many times that our true faith, when we really have the faith that binds us together, you'll hear people say things like this. I was really afraid. I never felt so dependent upon God in my life. That's our goal. That's our goal for you, and that's our goal for your children. As they grow up, as they grow and they reach those teen years, as they reach high school and they're being confronted with the pressures of all of the things that are going on in our culture today, you really want them to be able to say, I never felt so dependent upon God in my life. They have that kind of relationship. That's what we want for you, and that's what we want for your kids and for the next generation. As we gather as a church, the question is can we help develop that? Can we work together to create an environment where that is allowed to flourish, where they are allowed to flourish? But where does it begin? It begins with you, doesn't it? It begins with the adults. It begins with you and your heart and your relationship. Where is your relationship with God? For the last couple of weeks, we've taken time out of the service just to kind of meditate, just to kind of ask those deep questions. And I wanted to do this before we enter into a time of Holy Communion, to allow you to ask those questions, to ask that question. Give me the next slide. I want you to just enter into a time of reflection. Where is your relationship with God? Have you kind of stopped at just learning the basics? I'm just learning the language. I don't really know who God is. Nobody's really introduced me to him. I've never really taken ownership for it or never really felt the joy of a growing faith. I've thought about this passage from Jeremiah 6. This is what the Lord says. He says, stand at the crossroad and look and ask for the ancient path. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. So this morning, as we come and we prepare ourselves, ask that question, where is God in your relationship?